Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Kostas Panayiotikos, who's a professor of sociology at New York University College of Technology at the City University of New York and the author of Remaking Scarcity, From Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kostas Panayiotikos.
Good to be with you.
And clearly, things are extremely tense in Greece as protests over the last few days have burnt 45 buildings, have been gutted by fire, and the parliament voted in these harsh austerity measures demanded by foreign banks. There is also an election coming up, right, where the Conservatives are likely to win, and the Conservatives are the people who ran up the debt in collusion with people like Goldman Sachs. So what's your sense of Greece's immediate future, not to mention its long-term future?
Yeah. First of all, the whole question of elections is a bit up in the air. The current government, headed by an unelected former banker, was set up precisely so that Greek citizens did not have a say over this rescue package and the attached austerity measures that will determine the fate of Greek society for at least the coming decade. So basically, Greeks have been under austerity for the last 2 years, and they have seen that these measures have not worked. They have pushed Greek society into a depression and have not even addressed the fiscal issue, because it's hard to service your debt when your income is shrinking, which is what is happening in Greece. Hence the popular anger. And what we have is that the two, I would have said major parties, but one of them, the socialists, who presided for 2 years over the austerity measures, is not even a major party any longer. They have gone from 43% to 8%, according to recent polls. But these two parties, they still have the overwhelming majority of the seats in the parliament. And they only have this majority because, you know, that reflects the balance of forces 2 years ago. And this balance of forces is no longer valid. And they know that if there were elections now, Greeks might give a very different answer, and they might not, and they would not go along with these austerity measures. So basically, we are having measures that are being pushed that are very destructive, and people are rising up against them because they don't agree with them. But we basically have a parliament that no longer represents Greek citizens, that just continues the same failed recipe.
So where are the revenues going to come from, given the economic conditionings are worsening? Where are the revenues to come from to pay off these debts, even assuming that the bankers take a 50% haircut, which they've been reluctant to do so far?
Well, I think at this point, the Greek government has to basically tell its creditors that it cannot service the debt. It has to stop paying the debt, servicing the debt for the foreseeable future, and try to use, revenues for to sort of come to an understanding with other European countries to sort of towards a new, a different kind of trajectory. This doesn't work. And Greece does have some leverage, because because basically it's not clear that the Europeans can afford to let Greece collapse. That's the only bargaining chip Greece has at this moment. The Europeans are sort of prepared to play hardball with Greece and to blackmail and sort of, and that's what they've been doing. But I think the Greek government has to, use its own leverage to negotiate an agreement that is better for Greek people and ultimately better for the European population as a whole, because what we're seeing is that these austerity policies in Greece are now being generalized across the board throughout the European continent, and the result is that Europe is now facing a double dip recession, and unemployment is rising across Europe, and that instead of containing the Greek crisis, we see the debt crisis spreading throughout Europe, so that we're reaching a point where even the future of the euro is in doubt. So there are always alternatives. I mean, the Greek government and the Europeans are trying to convince the Greek population that there is no alternative, that these harsh measures that have destroyed Greek society and the living conditions of Greek people are the only possible response. This is not true, but it takes strong movements of resistance and a different kind of government that comes out of these movements to actually push towards a different direction.
Again, I'm speaking with Kostas Panayiotikos, a professor of sociology at New York City College of Technology at the City University of New York. He's the author of Remaking Scarcity from Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. I understand that, I mean, I guess to summarize what you're telling us, Kostas, is that in effect, the only leverage that Greece has is to sort of, on the one hand, the Europeans are holding a gun to Greece's head. On the other hand, Greece is holding a gun to their own head. And they're saying, you know, if we commit suicide, you all go down with us. Or at least the whole Euro project starts to unravel. It's a kind of leverage. I guess you could almost describe it as the Samson syndrome, right, where Samson pulls down the temple on top of himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of obviously a difficult situation. And in a way, this is a situation that reflects the broader imbalances of the Eurozone and the architecture of the Eurozone. Because the way this crisis is presented right now is to say that, Greeks and the Southern Europeans have been irresponsible, they have been living beyond their means, and now they're trying to take advantage of the virtuous neighbors to the north. But the reality, of course, is that the great beneficiaries from the Eurozone project have been northern European countries, especially, German industrial capital that had easy access to the markets of southern Europe, and that has basically wiped out the productive capacity of weaker countries like Greece. So what you have is basically a project where the North has profited significantly from this European project. And it is this has created imbalances, and now that there is a crisis, the imbalances have come to the fore, partly because of the global capitalist crisis, and they sort of want to interpret the crisis in a way that justifies victimizing ordinary, Greek workers and citizens and workers and citizens across southern Europe for a crisis they didn't cause. So this is the kind of crisis sort of shows the contradictions of neoliberal capitalism more generally, we've had similar contradictions with neoliberal globalization that has contributed to the eruption of the global crisis. And we now realize that, or we should realize, that we need to look for different ways of organizing our economy, ways that will be less unequal, where the benefits will not be primarily concentrated in the hands of the economically more powerful groups and countries, and systems that will be also more egalitarian, more democratic, and therefore more stable as well.
So, Kostas Panayiotikos, so there are, you talk about how German workers are being pitted against Greek workers, but there is a difference, though. My understanding is that German workers and Germany in general, Germans in general, pay their taxes, and they pay fairly high taxes, but they also get a lot of government services, which we don't here in this country. We pay low taxes, even though conservatives say that we pay high taxes, but we get very poor government services. Now, the difference, though, my understanding is that it's fairly endemic in Greece not to pay taxes, and the government recently put forth a kind of name and shame list of thousands of prominent Greeks who don't pay their taxes, entertainers, sports figures, etc. How did that work out?
Well, I mean, it remains to be seen whether this will lead to real change. I mean, tax evasion is a real issue in Greece, although I should note here that Greek workers do pay their taxes. They don't have an option not to pay their taxes.
So it's the rich Greeks who don't pay their taxes, right?
Who don't pay their taxes. Right. And also, of course, the problem has been aggravated by the policy of governments in the past that actually also reduced the taxes for businesses. So I think, this is a real issue, and tax evasion of the rich has to be addressed. But the two parties that have dominated the political system in recent decades, the socialists and the conservatives, have not shown any political will to address this issue. They've been making some moves in recent months, but the fact remains that most of the burden of the taxation in recent months has been borne once again by ordinary, workers and citizens in Greece. That might be conceivably change in the future, but it is less likely to change if the same parties continue to, hold power. And, of course, the polls show that support for these parties is not very, very high. I mean, the socialists are almost liquidated in polls. And the conservatives, as you mentioned, are doing better, but even their performance is not that spectacular. It's not clear they could form a government by themselves if there were elections today. And given the about turn they have made recently, I mean, up to a few months ago, they were sort of opposing the austerity measures, and that sort of helped them electorally. Now they are identified with these measures. They have made an about turn, and I wouldn't be surprised if their support even for the conservatives starts going down.
Well, just in closing then, Kostas Panayiotikos, in order to get out from under this burgeoning and debt that has been rolled over for the last couple of years, my understanding is that the Greek's creditors would have to take about a 90% haircut for this to even be attainable in terms of servicing this debt, and that's politically unlikely. So, what is the chances then of a default? Because at the end of the day, it's beginning to look like that's the only realistic option, and they keep sort of papering over it. But that seems to be, and I don't know how you could ever go back to the drachma. That would be even more economic pain, surely.
Well, I think it's true that Greece is bankrupt. I mean, a default in one way or another is inevitable, and even, the current package restructuring the debt is a form of default. And I think what the Greek government has to do and what the Greek people should be struggling for is basically defaulting under in ways that are sort of most consistent with the interests of ordinary Greeks. Right now, what we're seeing is a kind of process of Greek default that is happening under terms that are most consistent with the interests of foreign creditors. So the default will happen one way or another. The question is, you know, the question is the way of the default and whether the way this default happens primarily, you know, serves the interest of ordinary Greeks or whether it serves the interests of, you know, European banks and capitalist elites in Greece and Europe.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Kostas Panayiotikos.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Kostas Panayiotikos, a professor of sociology at New York City College of Technology at the City University of New York, and he's the author of the new book, Remaking Scarcity, From Capitalist Inefficiency to Economic Democracy. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about Apple's dirty secret in China.